Hey AIM members, have you heard? Early bird registration for AIM Fuse 2020 has been extended. Lock in the discounted ticket price of $125 for next year's Fuse conference. Head over to aimgroup.com/fuse to grab your early bird spot before they're all sold out. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, come on.
Throwing out all my goods?
Yeah.
It's private
don't
talk.
Don't put me in trouble, you know? Yeah.
My oldest is super anxious. He's super smart. He's calm, doesn't like physical contact. Like, he wants to like golf and ski. He doesn't want anything
and do puzzles.
And do puzzles. He doesn't want anyone touching him. My middle is like Harbor is
wild.
My middle. He is
wild,
crazy.
Harbor. That's an awesome name.
Kai is my oldest. Harbor is
K-A-I.
Yep.
Kai.
Harbor is my middle, and he is just like tackling and being like, he'll walk in and be like, I want to battle somebody.
Oh,
you're not
God.
Battling your little girl cousins. Like, relax.
Yeah, relax, dude.
Yep. Psycho.
And then, and he's so full of himself. Like, he thinks he is, like, the most handsome. He kisses girls all the time. Like, he is, like, cool. Then my baby is Luna, and she is, like, full of personalities. Like, so sweet, but not.
Sweet
you know
but
I mean?
Sassy.
Yes.
The baby girl.
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah. So opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she fights with me. I'm like, I don't have time to fight with my 2-year-old every morning for 20 minutes over what socks you wear.
No.
Like, I don't.
Or if you're going to go to school with a shirt on.
Yeah. She wouldn't wear a shirt in the air. We just went to California. She wouldn't wear a shirt in any of the airplanes we got into. So every
no
time
shirt?
We got an airplane, she took her shirt off and refused to wear it, you know?
Welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I am your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. That was long-winded, I know. And today, got my girls here from Maine.
Woo!
We got Skylar Welch and Tori Doucette.
See?
That's all right.
Practice.
That's all right. Acadia Lending.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I know we were just talking beforehand, and I'm like, shut up. We need to talk about it.
Keep
on,
our content. Yeah.
You know? But it's already been fun, right?
Yeah.
So we got 45 minutes here. That's going to go really quick. We're going to learn more about you guys. We're just going to go from there.
Perfect.
Cool. Who wants to go first? I want to know from the beginning. I know you're both from
Maine. She started
before
me. I'll let her go first.
Yeah, we'll go with Skylar.
Yeah.
I want to know 5-10 minutes at the most.
Sure.
How you got into the business. Go wherever you want.
Okay,
I mean, we know
perfect.
Everyone here, we got the trifecta of kids too. Three.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that a bit more.
Yeah.
But just tell us more about you.
Yeah. So I'm from Eastport, Maine, a tiny, tiny little island. I was telling everyone here about it. I mean, it's, you know, 1,000 people. I
had about it.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Canadian border. It's a really, really small town. Grew up there. And after college, where Tori and I met, we met in college, I decided to move to the Virgin Islands for a little while. So
nice.
I moved down there and just kind of
Maine, right?
Had
That's
fun.
Where you went?
Yeah,
you
we
Maine?
Both went to University of Maine.
I got you.
Graduated from there. I actually have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. Fun fact, mortgage broker with an art degree. So I moved down to the Virgin Islands and just, you know, had fun and did that for a little while. And that's where I met my husband.
In the Virgin Islands?
Yes. So he's
Is he from there?
No, he's from Missouri.
Okay.
So we were both kind of doing the same thing down there. And then we decided we couldn't really live that lifestyle forever. It's not sustainable or not really a place you want to raise a family. So we moved back to Missouri and we were there for about 6 months. And I was like, well, I've literally lived on an island my whole life. I grew up on an island. I live in the Virgin Islands. I'm struggling here in the middle of the United
Just
States.
Just to put things into perspective, can I be the guy that asks a woman how old they are so I can put it so how old are you in that
so right now
now
I'm 32.
All right, cool.
I'll be 33 in like a week. Tori just turned 33. We're like a month apart. So we were living in the Virgin Islands. We moved to Missouri. I was like, I don't love it here. It was just hard. It was great to be with this family and everything, but it was just hard. So we decided to move to Maine, which is where I'm from. We moved to Southern Maine. But before we moved, I was like, well, what am I going to do? You know, I need to find a job. I was looking on Craigslist for a job, and I applied for a mortgage assistant position with Acadia Lending Group.
Okay.
And Acadia had just opened
And how long ago was this?
8 years ago.
8 years ago, so before kids, too.
No kids
yet. No kids, okay.
But that came soon after.
Yeah, sure.
So I started with Acadia. I basically called them, and I said, hey, you know, I'm interested in this position. And our owner, John, was like, all right, well, give me a call. You know, I'll call you Tuesday at 2. I was like, okay, perfect. So Tuesday at 2 rolls around. He doesn't call. Tuesday 2:30 rolls around. I was like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So I call him. I'm like, hey, John, you're supposed to call me at 2. And he's like, oh, so sorry. I forgot. I got caught up. But I like it. I'm looking for someone that's going to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, well, here I am. I'm driving from Missouri to Maine, and I'm going to be in your parking lot. So so I went in and interviewed, and I was like, these are, like, great people. You know, they had just opened the doors, husband-wife couple, and I met him, and I was like, this is really, really good. And he's like, now you need my wife. I was like, oh, God, I hope she doesn't hate me. So then I met her, and I was like, she's even better. So I started assisting with them. You know, helping them with their files, really learning the back end of things, you know.
So how long did you do that for?
Well, so I was a few weeks into working there, I found out I was pregnant, and I was basically so by the way, I'm having a baby. after assisting them for a couple months, they're like, you know what, Sky, you get this. You should get licensed. You need to get licensed. Like, I think you could be good at this. I was like, okay, what do I need to do? So after a few months, I studied, got everything ready, and I went and took my tests, and it's like, it's okay if you fail, you know, and I was like, I don't really have time to fail, like, I have a baby coming, so
yeah.
Passed the national test, passed the state test, and I came back, and he's like, how'd it go? I'm like, I passed. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, this is going to be good, so literally, like, probably a few days later, I had the baby early, and left, and was on maternity leave. When I came back, rates were super low. They were, like, you know, 2.75, 3%. They hand me a stack of all the loans they'd ever done. They said, hey, call these people and see if they want to refi. And over the last...
So this is like 2012-ish?
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, 2012 was exactly
So I started in business 2011 as well.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So I went back and I just started hammering it. But I had been listening to everything that they were saying when they were talking to their clients. I did all the back end. I knew how to do all the paperwork. I knew how to take an application. I knew how to do that type of thing. But I also was listening to, like, what questions do you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to ask about child support. Don't forget to ask about this. Don't forget to ask about that. Like, all those things. Yeah. Student loans. Like, all those things. So I just kind of started pounding the pavement. Like, I reached out to – I literally got a list of every single real estate agent in the state of Maine. And I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'm a new broker and I'd love to meet you. I think something that's different about us is that we've always been brokers. We've never been anything else. Mm-hmm. We've
it's
always
important to note. Yep.
We've always thought brokers are better. We've always been promoting ourselves as brokers and always been promoting ourselves as being better.
That's like, cool.
We have more options. We don't have to fit you in our box. We build you your own box. And I think that is like a selling point for us. And we've never even known anything differently. So
I like how you said, we don't put you in the box. We're going to build your own box. That's the whole thing about the broker world, right?
Exactly.
Like, people think we don't have control, and I keep hammering this away on the on podcast, but we have more control.
More control.
And it's literally a teamwork effort with the client.
Yeah, so many more options.
You know, and if one lender doesn't like it, okay, no problem. I'll send you to this lender because I know they'll like it. They may not be as fast, but they're going to like it, you know? So we have options. And so that's how we've always sold ourselves. So
cool.
I immediately reached out, met with all these realtors, you know, just said, hey, here I am. Like, I'm brand new, but give me a chance or, you know, but then started building relationships. I met the ones, I don't think I'd really like to work with them. And then met ones that I really connected with. And to this day, I still work with them.
Yeah. You don't play. Like, if you didn't connect with that person off the bat, we're just not going to do it. No hard feelings.
Right. Exactly. So I've nurtured those relationships, taken care of those relationships, provided value for those relationships. So they know I'm always available. They can call me anytime and get a hold of me. They know that I'm going to take great care of their clients. I'm going to hold their hand through the process. I'm going to get it closed fast. Like, all of those things are important.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken those relationships and over the years built those relationships, taken care of those relationships. But I assisted for a long time because I was scared of that losing that $12 an hour salary, you know, I was scared. I had a new baby. What do you mean I'm not going to be on salary?
Would you say, and both of you can answer this one, but you like having your back against the wall, knowing you have a baby coming? Like,
don't
you think that kind of makes you,
motivates you,
you kind of need that?
1,000% You're motivated when you have a family that you need to support. So,
yeah.
So then basically went from there to John and Heather saying to me, Sky, like, you don't have time to assist us anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, we're not going to let you fail. Mm-hmm. So
how big is Acadia?
Well, at that point, it was just John, Heather, myself, and our processor. That's it.
Where is it at now?
11
employees, 6 loan officers.
6 loan officers,
that's
yeah.
a nice...
Yeah.
Not too big, not too small.
Yeah. So, basically, they cut me loose and said, go do it, you know? And in, like, 3 months, I'd made more than I made the whole year before,
right?
You know?
Isn't that cool?
And started originating in every... So, that was in 2015, I became a full-time loan officer. So, I've only been a full-time loan officer for 4 years. But I basically doubled my production every single year.
That's awesome.
But it's because I just continue to build on these relationships. And you don't forget the first relationships or don't not take care of the people mm-hmm. that are feeding you. You know, I'm not always chasing the next person or chasing mm-hmm. the next big thing. I'm taking care of the ones that I've started from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really important. When I first started, which I think is a great tip for people, is that you're brand new. Go to your real estate offices meetings or go to the we have like Portland Board of Realtors. Go to your Board of Realtors meeting
mm-hmm.
and see all the new agents that they're inducting. I used to go to those meetings and look at all those new agents. I'd go up to them as soon as they were inducted and say, hey, I'm a new broker too. I'd love to build our businesses together. How can we build our businesses together? Because I know, yeah, they may not be producing a lot now, but I'm going to help them start producing, and mm-hmm. then I'm going to be with them from the beginning. And now, look at them now. They're some of the top producers.
You got to be long-term in this game. You can't be short-term.
Transactional.
And when I first started, I didn't start going after people that were the top person. That mm-hmm. I'm like, why would they give me a chance? I haven't even done a transaction, you know? So I started with those people that weren't really doing transactions, but I'm like, you know, we're both young. We're going to build our businesses together. And we're going to be in it for the next 30 years together.
People will go after the big whales, whatever, right off the bat. Like, come on, they have they've been doing well for a reason because they've built their relationships.
Exactly.
You can't just jump
in
there.
And they're headhunted like crazy.
I mean, all
day
long.
Always someone else in there offering to take them to lunch. So
it's like anything else. You can't just call someone up like and get mad if they're not giving you deals right off the bat.
Yeah,
exactly.
You gotta work it, you know?
Exactly. Like, it may take a long time. It may take a relationship a year before they even give you a chance. You know, I think that that's important. But now I work with some of the top real estate agents in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But it's taken me time and it's taken me to build my reputation to be able to get those relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tori.
Hi.
So, but Sky, you introduced Tori to the business,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Huge part of my story, yeah.
So just to kind of recap, about 4 years you've been full-time loan officer.
Right.
4 years. 3 kids within that 7 years or 8 years in the business.
They were asking me yesterday, like, why do you think, because I went from doing 150 loans last year to doing 250 loans this year, doing $35 million last year to $63 million this year.
It's crazy.
Like, how do you do it that? I said, well, I'm pretty sure it was the first year I didn't take a maternity leave and be nursing a baby.
Yeah, right? You know,
I've been pregnant or nursing a baby for the last 6 mm-hmm. years of my life. This is the first year I wasn't. So, I mean, that takes a lot of time in your life, you know? And
yeah.
I was able to just focus on my business. Granted, I'm raising 3 children, too. But I have, a husband that supports that and is able to help a lot, too. So, you know.
Does your husband have a flexible, quote-unquote, flexible job as well?
He's a home inspector.
Oh, cool.
So it's good because he can do a couple inspections mm-hmm. in the morning, in the afternoon. But he's able to, pick the kids up or make dinner. Or,
yeah.
You know, things that I don't have time to do.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Tori.
Hi.
So, I know, we're letting Sky talk the whole time.
Oh, it's all good.
If I call you Sky, you're going to get offended?
No, she likes it.
That's what
you like that.
That's
all right,
what
cool.
I call her.
All right, so, but you introduced Tori to the business. How did that kind of occur?
Yeah, well, I saw potential in her. So
you were friends anyway.
We were friends since college. We met in college, mm-hmm. and then she was an
insurance
working agent.
In an insurance company.
So that's all my background. My whole family's insurance.
Yeah.
Property and casualty.
Yep,
that's my one brother owns a company. My dad's had an Allstate branch. My grandfather was literally the first Allstate agent in Philadelphia on Market Street where we're at right now.
Oh, no way.
Shout out, Pop, Joe
Woo-hoo.
Hussey. Yep, but go ahead.
Yeah, so Skylar and I obviously knew each other from college, but she used to give me opportunities for homeowners quotes, and that's kind of how we started connecting on a professional level, obviously.
Did you work for another agency?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yep, so I worked for an agency. Sky just gave me an opportunity, obviously, because we were friends,
yeah.
and she was like, hey,
no
these
doubt.
Are like free deals for Tori.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she liked the way I worked, liked the way I got back to people. I would quote someone right then and there, give them a price, and she liked that because it helped her business move smoother.
Mm-hmm.
The smoother that transaction went, the more referrals she'd get,
mm-hmm.
and if I could help be a part of that, then that was just money in the bank for both of us.
So when was this? What year about? When you guys started connecting business?
So probably 5 years ago.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay.
5 or 6 years ago.
Okay, cool.
When we first started. So that lasted for about a year-ish. And she was constantly always saying like, hey, you know.
Stop making peanuts.
Yeah, stop. Yeah, stop.
I mean, we're talking about long-term in the mortgage world.
Yeah.
And creating relationships. Insurance is super long term.
So this is my mentality.
Cool and all. It's great to have that residual business.
Yeah.
So which, that's exactly where we started because that was in my mind.
I was in insurance too. I had to roll. I had to leave my dad. Like that was tough. But
yeah.
But go ahead.
And I like the company that I worked for, and she's telling me all this money I can make and how flexible it'll be. I have 3 kids at the time myself already. When I'm now getting into it, and I was thinking to myself, like, full commission, like, that's terrifying. Like, I can't even imagine going from my cushy little salary plus a little bit of commission to 100% commission. Like, I could not wrap my mind around it.
Dude, scary.
So they presented me with an offer, and I, like, actually declined it the first time because I was too afraid. I just wasn't ready to take that leap. And then, like, I think about 9 months later, she just kept pounding me and pounding me and being like, you're crazy. Like, you know, I've went from doing this. Now this year I'm going to make this. I'm projected to make this. And I was like, damn.
You're like, shit.
Yeah, damn.
Like, what?
Damn. That would be great. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I finally just decided, like, if I didn't give this opportunity a try, like, I would constantly be wondering what if. And I was like, you know what? I'm young. I can bounce back from this if it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. I know the insurance world is always going to be there, will always welcome me with open arms. And I took that leap of faith because in my mind, I was thinking, God, in insurance, you have to keep a client happy forever, for as long as they're a client of yours, through claims, through premium increases, through all these things. In the insurance world, I have to keep you happy for 30 to 45 days. Like, easy.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't understand. Like, that's going to be so much easier, like faster.
But I'm sure you're seeing it. You have clients from 2 years ago hitting you up just for, you know, I have an issue with my service or this. You're like, it's still a client for life for the most part. Same type of thing.
Exactly.
But I see exactly what you're saying.
So basically, I jumped ship. I went to work with Sky at Acadia. Everyone was obviously super
nice. Did you go in as an assistant?
Nope.
I went straight in,
loan officer, but they had agreed to put me on salary for at least 6 months.
That's cool.
So that, again, I think that was like my little like crutch that I needed to
like a revocable type
list.
Draw where they give you money.
They were very kind about it.
Awesome.
Like they were just being really, really open to it. But I hit the ground running too. Like I wouldn't talk to a client. I wouldn't do anything. I basically followed Skylar around like a tiny little puppy dog everywhere she went for literally 6 months. Closings, lunches. Mm-hmm. I sat right next to her at her desk and just listened the way that she spoke to her clients, listened to the way that she spoke to her realtors. I would see like the emails she would type to these people, like how the wording was, like, because she's very organic, like she's very relationship based. And I said, like, I think that's why we got along in the first place, is that's kind of how we both naturally are. That's why she liked the way I did my business for insurance, that she could already see that I had that mentality. So really, I followed her for about 6 months, pretty much like every single day. And then I hit the pavement. I joined like every networking group I could possibly think of, BNIs, Think Locals, you know, anything. Go to Chamber of Commerce meetings, go to business after hours. Really just bump shoulders with people and in a very organic way. Like I would never sell myself. I just, people say like, hey, what do you do? Like, tell them, I'm a mortgage broker.
That's what you do.
And this is what I do. Yeah, I wasn't selling anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it way less awkward to do that because I didn't feel like I was a salesman. Mm-hmm. And I know I had a service to provide. I knew I was able to help my clients more so than these retail banks, more so than these local banks. I mean, we're from Maine. I mean, there's not many mortgage brokerage. So I feel like that's where we kind of like were able to like insert ourselves.
We keep saying this. It's so simple. Like
it seems very.
But a lot of people can't figure out like just be yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like 100% yourself.
Yeah.
And that kind of works.
No, I mean, I know I'm pretty likable.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's crazy how simple it is. Yeah. Like we can talk about marketing all day, which we'll get into. I want to dive deeper on that, but it's really just being yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And leveraging your relationships that you make.
Exactly. It's a lifestyle business, especially like I have 3 kids. Yeah. You have like everything's mixed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a total mix
yep.
of everything. Right.
It is. I actually said that to Sky, too. I was like, you know, you could have told me I was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when I joined.
Yeah, yeah, it's a flexible business, yeah. You know, quote
but
unquote.
But it's not just a career.
You
it
manage
is 100%
your time.
A lifestyle.
All right, like, well, can we dive into that?
Of course.
About life and business and mixing? Because I have struggles with that. I'm sure you guys, yeah, too. Three
all
kids.
The time.
You know, how do you manage, like, how, yeah, do you set, like, we're not going to do business right now.
Yeah.
We have to go focus on the kids.
Yeah.
And it's all mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids see it.
Yes.
You feel bad with the kids seeing it sometimes.
And I think that we're,
like, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's the biggest difference between the two of us. We run our businesses very similarly.
Correct.
And we have relationships the same. You know, we build the relationships, mm-hmm, the same. We nurture those relationships the same. But I struggle a lot more with work-life balance. I work all the time. And I have, but I set like these goals. I'm like, I want to hit this goal. So what do I need to do to get to this goal? And I would rather stay at the office late and then go home in that hour that I'm with my kids. I'm not connected to anything other than them. I don't want them to see me on my computer all the time or on my phone all the time. Or
uh-huh.
call it.
It's tough.
Yeah. But then I work a lot after they go to sleep.
Me too.
So we both work, you know, 8 to 1 in the summer. You know, like that's the time that we work a lot after the kids go to,
mm-hmm,
bed. But that's when I focus on, like, my refis. Like, I'll deal with my emails and my calls and my purchase and stuff all day long.
And then no one bugs you at night
and
either.
Then I've maybe had 10 people reach out to me that said that they want to do a refi. Well, I'll after, mm-hmm, the kids go to bed, I sit down and work up all those refis so that I can get back to them. So then when I get in the morning, they've responded with the answers and then I can,
yeah,
do that. So,
yes.
Give me a normal day.
Yeah, sure.
We'll go you first and then I want to hear yours.
Sure. So,
give it. When,
yeah,
you wake up, you think, and,
yeah,
then go through it.
So, I get up at like 6:30, 6:45.
Okay.
I have to have, we have to be out the door by 7:45.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I get up, my husband and I get the kids dressed, then I'll get ready, he'll get ready. I usually drop the kids off.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, like I said, we have three kids. So we have one that's in a primary school that has to be at the school by 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two in daycare. So we drop them off, go to the school, wait in this ridiculous drop-off line, drop him off, and then I go straight to the office. I'm at the office usually from 8:30 to 6:30 at least,
mm-hmm,
every day. So I'm there Monday through Friday, all day, every day. During my day, as soon as I get in, I start going through emails. So I have, you know, I try not to go to sleep every night with any emails for the next day. That's like a goal of mine.
Whoa,
like,
so you're one of those zero inboxer people?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, when I get in the morning, I want to start fresh every single day. So
that's cool.
I don't like to go to bed until have everything
You can't
done.
Sleep at night if you,
yeah,
got one little...
And I just know what it's going to do to my next day because,
mm-hmm,
I know my next day is going,
yeah,
to be full.
We've all been there.
So I get in. I start going through my emails. You know, we both have amazing processors. Our processors will go through the files. They'll send us updates, those type of things. We do all of our own conditions. We chase every single condition. We have 100% connection with all communication with our buyers, all communication with our real estate agents. We do all of that. So I do that. Then, you know, I set up lunches. I do a broker roadshow every month. I
okay.
do, you know, whatever it may be, like set things up. Maybe I'm sponsoring a lunch and learn. Maybe I'm doing this, you know, so I do those type of things during the day. Involved in things in the community, volunteer at certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So work those into my week. But besides that, I'm in the office. I meet with, you know, if a client wants to meet, I'm there, whatever that may be. I'm part of a networking group every Wednesday that I go to. So I'm there every single Wednesday for the last 7 years of my life. I've been there every
yeah.
single Wednesday.
You're in a good flow right now.
Yeah.
But we know with a bunch of kids in this business, it can get derailed
yeah.
real quick. But it sounds like you're both in a flow.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, Wednesday you're doing this, boom. You're
yeah.
just kind of rolling.
But my day isn't like scheduled every day.
No,
like,
no,
I don't know
that's what I'm
happen.
Trying to get at.
Like
is it time blocked? Is it?
No,
no.
There's no time block.
Neither.
It is literally like, okay, I'm going to come in and what's going to hit me today? Oh, I have 5 new under contract. Well, 5 new under contract. I'm going to take those contracts. I'm going to work them up completely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to then put together the list that I need to send to the buyers. I send that out, congratulate them, call them, go over the application, button the application up. Then I go and I take that to my processor,
mm-hmm.
hand that to her, and she discloses and everything.
So you would agree, a lot of people get in like time block, do this, do that. But knowing you and speaking to you
yeah.
before, like you're reactionary. You guys
yeah.
do your best work when you react to something
For
coming
sure.
at you because you're being yourself
I mean,
and you're
you
not overthinking, right?
Yeah,
that's how I am too.
And I think if we time block things, okay, I'm not answering my phone for this time.
That's why we're totally winging this podcast, too.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm not going to answer my phone from 9 to 11 every day. Okay, well,
I just got three people
that called me for a prequal, and then I called them back at 11. They're like, oh, sorry, you didn't answer, so I called somebody else.
I wrote this down. I'm taking notes, like quick and efficient. Like, how are you guys being quick and efficient with three kids running? Like, is there any little things if we go deeper? Like, how's your phone? Like, both have iPhones?
Yes.
That's your... the tool, right? Like that's gotta be on point, right?
Yeah, like attached to us. Yeah. But I think also too, like prioritizing, like, you know, we know when we get a realtor sending us a referral for a prequal, I will drop everything I'm doing to get on the phone with that person right then and there because my realtor expects it out of me, which is going to continue to make that relationship good that I do what I say. And if I tell them I answer the phone, I have to answer the phone. Mm-hmm. So prioritizing those prequels to let the people know that you really do answer very quickly. Yeah. You can get them a prequel in the next 15 minutes. Uh-huh. Like really doing that. And then also like same thing too, when we get new applications, when we get the contract, like that file will be worked up that same day.
Yeah.
Probably within that same hour.
Yeah.
Because again, getting it started is half the battle. Then we can allow our, you know, our processors to come on and help us.
You want to give
and
a shout out to your processors at all?
Yes.
So my processor is Jenny Gibson, and she handles so that much. Name. There were times this summer that she had like 88 loans. She's processing all by herself.
They're beasts.
Yeah, and then
Nadine Bouchard is mine, and so they don't just handle Skylar and I. Like they handle the whole office.
We share them with everyone in the office.
That's awesome. So
they are amazing.
Rock stars.
Yeah, we're
very efficient, very detail oriented. Like they don't miss things. You know, I think that's part. I mean, you have to build a strong team, and that's huge. You know, when we send in bank statements, well, every time I ask you, hey, I need another bank statement, they're like, I already sent you that, or okay, but they would be that specific to say, hey, they're missing page 4 of the bank statement. Like
details matter.
Exactly. Definitely. Because they don't want to think that we just missed it. We didn't miss it, but it's not going to clear the condition until we have page 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The perception of how you're doing business. Like, dude, behind the scenes, you know how messy it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. But giving that perception to the client and realtor partners that, yeah, we know it's messy and being 100 about it. But, yo, we got this because we got details. We got the right people.
And chase some of the conditions that you can chase on your own. Don't even alert the borrowers to some of the crap that you have to deal with. I mean, I literally was just on the phone 2 days ago on a water test that was failing for a VA secondary level of manganese. Mm-hmm. And literally, I called the main CDC and spoke with their lead toxicologist, got something in writing that stated this was not actually like a health or a safety concern. Mm-hmm. It was simply odor and color. I mean, it was nothing serious, and it's safe. So we literally got the letter, sent it to UWM. Shout out to UWM too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was huge, and they didn't ever know about it.
I think that's something we always say is that, okay, we may get a list of conditions that have, you know, there may be 10 conditions. Okay, we read through them. I know for a fact I can take care of 5 of these, and I don't even have to let the borrower know. So if I'm taking care of things, I always say to my borrowers, I'm going to make this process as easy as possible for you. If there are things I can take care of that I don't have to bother you with, I'm going to do that because this is my full-time job and I know you have a full-time job. So I want to make this as easy as possible for you. And all my clients come back to me and say, like, I can't believe how easy that was. I literally read all online how terrible the mortgage process was being.
Yeah.
You just blew this out of the water.
It's
like,
funny
how is that
sometimes
possible?
With like a first-time home buyer and you killed it. It was just so easy. But then they don't.
I know.
And I'm not being anyone, but respecting the fact that all the shit we just did. You don't even know about it was easy. So now everyone else is going to think everyone's specific. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That one?
You're
like, I wish it was hard for him.
I know. I want you to know what we went through.
So the next
the
one, you're coming, you know, don't take me for granted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
And I think that's too, like, same thing with like our balance is like, again, setting realistic expectations for all parties. I mean, it's not just the buyers, but it's the realtors as well. And I think that's Skylar's challenge with her work-life balance is something that I saw from the beginning and that I like saw her struggle with. And I said, like, I will never get to that point. I will never allow myself. I will build my business in a way that I find manageable. And of course, there are certainly times where I would never turn away a prequel, obviously. But there are expectations that I'll set with my realtors sometimes where, you know, I'm at hockey for the next hour. You know, is it something that I can get back to you when I get to the house, or do you need me to reach out to somebody at my office? And that's, you know, I think that's where we kind of help each other out is like, hey, like, hey, Tori, are you around to send me a prequel letter? If I'm around, I'll send it for her.
Right.
Silly things, but.
Right. So obviously we know you both convey how the process is going to be. I want to make it easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how are you conveying it right now if I'm going deeper? You guys doing videos? I like to try and I keep bringing up personalized automation. Yeah. We're getting lost with some people get lost with the automation because then it's not personalized. But are you guys working on anything or doing anything that's a personalized? Like,
so everything we do is personalized.
Right.
So we do no automation. We have zero automation.
I got you.
So, I mean, we use all of the resources of UWM and everything like that. However, we send all personalized conditions. We send all personalized emails.
Which is a double-edged sword, obviously.
Yeah. We chase every single thing, which takes up a lot of our time, which we know
which
that.
Which is so good, though. That's fine. I'm trying to dive deep. Like, is there a template, though? I'm not saying there's a template, but like a template that can be personalized to the client. Does that make sense?
I mean, there are definitely things that we do. I mean, like for example, like if I was going to be sending someone, how many times have I had to type out like a 2-paragraph email to a borrower to send them a link to my pre-qual application? So yeah, we have templates for things like that where we're like physically generating the same thing and just tailoring it a little bit, like making it a little bit more specific. If I just got off the phone with them, I'll make sure I put that in my email.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so nice to talk to you this afternoon. But yeah, we certainly set up templates so that way we're not just redundant and typing the same
but
emails over and over.
The same with us. Everything's personalized. It has to be.
Definitely. For sure.
But 250 units, whatever you're doing per year, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to dive deep on the life balance.
And that's why there isn't a lot of balance. And that's what's a struggle. I mean.
But that's okay too, right?
Yeah.
But that's what Fuse has helped us with is like realizing what is out there for those types of things for us.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even realize half these things existed. It's not up in Maine yet. It's really not.
So there are things that now we're looking into more of this technology, more of this like Jungo, more of these pipeline managers, things, because something I struggle with is I've pre-qualified, you know, 1,000 people this year, but I can't remember those 1,000. I can't tell you who I pre-qualified last week unless I have it on a list.
Yeah.
But right now my lists are very Excel spreadsheet.
Which
and
is okay.
Very Outlook folders.
And, you know,
Outlook
and those type of things, which is okay, but it's not manageable for the amount of business.
No.
So we're working on getting all of those things in. We're working on doing a lot more video. I mean, we have been, you know, boosting our social media, doing more video, but now we're looking into, we're getting like BombBomb, we're getting all these things so that we can.
But it's scary because you don't want to lose the personalization.
Correct.
I get this. I'm right there with you.
That's why we've struggled so much with it. However,
because we feel like that's why we're successful. We feel that
it is our
personal touch. It's our relationship to be able to pick up the phone and be so real with a realtor that it feels more like a friend than it does someone that you're getting business from.
You don't want to lose that.
And they
sell
appreciate
out.
That.
But at the same time, something I struggled with, I mean, this summer, there were times I had, you know, 68 loans in my pipeline and I can't get away from my desk enough to get a bite to eat or go to the bathroom. Let alone go visit a real estate agent.
Yep.
Let alone go to my realtor's office. And my real estate officers are like, wow, I haven't seen you in a month. I haven't seen you in 2 months.
And then you feel guilty.
And then I feel,
I get it.
I feel so
guilty. You're only
guilty.
So much.
And I say, well, because my mentality is I want to get your loans closed as fast as I can. I want to make sure your borrowers are having the best experience. So that's what I'm doing. I'm sitting here making sure that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm not out, you know, mingling with you or doing these things. And I would love to be doing that. But that's where I feel like I'm need to find a better balance because I want to still be able to do all of those things and provide the same level of personalized service. So that's where I think integrating some of these systems that are able to do some of the automation as far as chasing conditions. I mean, something like that I think is what I need in my life. You
and
know
also
what I mean?
Getting like the proper support. I mean, I feel like if, you know, as like for me, I've only been doing this full time for 2 years before I really like went out on my own.
So, and so, it's just, all right, you have, to be clear, you have separate businesses.
Correct.
But you don't have an assistant or anything.
So
you
Okay. So, well,
I don't.
Yes, Tori does not. I didn't have an assistant until recently, how long has she been here?
Almost a year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I hired her, and right now, what I struggle with is I still have trouble
letting go and giving.
She does a lot of my social media, kind of client follow-up, reviews, those type of things. However, still with the loan types of things, those are the things I still need to be part of. Focus on. I still want to have all my contact with my realtors and my borrowers. So I'm still doing all of those type of things. But I want to be sure that I'm still staying in front of everyone that I've pre-qualified. I'm still staying in front of everyone that I've done past loan for. I look at my past clients as these are my best referral sources. I want to constantly be sitting in front of them, but I don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. So I've hired Courtney, and she has come on, and those are the types of things she does, and you know, sets up my broker tour, sets up those type of things that I do, mm-hmm. which allows me to stay in front of these people.
And I think, fortunately and unfortunately, like having her on there did grow Skylar's business significantly, but she didn't necessarily get as much of the support on the loan side.
Yeah, it's
and
tough.
You know, really was inundated with so many pre-qual applications and all these other things, is that I think that's where I, again, I'm like looking at this from like an outsider, and this mm-hmm. is I'm watching my friend's business grow and like really boom in the next year. It's going to be even crazier. But I just, that's what I see for myself, is I see that my work-life balance is decent right now. It's not always great. Sometimes it's not as good as others, but I think that that's what I need, is my support person. Like I need somebody that I can train to do some of these.
So you're looking
yeah.
for that right
yeah.
now?
I definitely feel like I need that for myself. And especially when the times are a little bit slower, that's when I'd have the time to train them. That's when I'd have the time mm-hmm. to kind of show them the ropes and really find out like where my pain points are. Because when spring market hits, there's no time to train anybody. There's no time for anything. You just got to go balls to the wall and get your job done yeah, every day.
That's why I'm growing you guys. I'm looking at exactly. this as like a brainstorming
yeah,
type thing.
Definitely.
I'm the same exact boat. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. we have three kids. I'm coaching here. I'm yeah. running, you know,
yeah. my kids
wife
are all
is
in
running
sports.
Her yeah. business. Right. Yeah. But she handles a lot of the kids during the day with the mm-hmm. little baby girl, like, yeah. like we said. Yeah. So it's like, I'm literally trying to see what you are doing
yeah.
so I can incorporate it in
definitely.
What we're
and
trying
I,
to do.
And I think know? For me, like I thought that I could bring someone on, they could help with all of those things, but it's too much for one person. You know, it's
yeah.
these, I kind of have to maybe put them in different compartments and say, okay, I need someone that's going to be able to handle all of these past clients, all of these social media, all of this marketing, all mm-hmm. of this type of thing. And then someone that I'm able to basically train as an LOA, which is, that's where I have trouble letting go. And I know that I need to
it's
at
hard,
some point,
man.
You know, mm-hmm. but it's hard because I don't ever want to lose that connection.
You don't want to sell out.
Right.
You don't want to be the that person that was so
that's
personalized.
Too big. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got
and
too
hypocritical
big for their bridges, yeah.
of not being in the fire.
Yeah.
And that's the constant battle of
exactly.
how to let go and give up some. That's what we're doing right now, me mm-hmm. and my brother. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out, I need to move up a step. He's got to move up a step. But we don't want to go too fast.
Right.
And we're trying to let go of certain things and come up with, here's our things that we can give up, whatever that is, calling for reviews. Thing, like,
yeah.
It's tough. Man.
I mean, and yeah. still even, you know, sometimes that when I brainstorm about, like, what would I have an LOA do for me? Like, I personally am super, super purchase heavy. Uh-huh. Like, they all made fun of me because of all the loans that I've closed this year. It's literally 12 refis. And they're like, Tori, you are ridiculous. Like, you have so much untapped business.
Well, how many units do you think you're doing this year?
I'll probably do about 130
this
year.
That's awesome. And yeah. you're, what do you think?
250.
Well, we're at the end of the year, so we obviously have
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, that's nuts. How many units, we'll stick with units because obviously volume difference per
right.
state in
for
the country.
Sure.
How many units per year, or we can go monthly, do you think is a max for a typical loan officer without an assistant doing what you're doing to be successful and personalized?
I mean, I feel like 20, like, I feel like 20 loans per month without anyone is realistic for
what?
Me. For me, I feel like it is. I feel like that is capable of doing.
Well, what do you think?
I think like 10 to 12.
10 to 12. All right. Well, it's in there,
yeah.
but I've seen coaches or whatever, and I'm not bashing anyone that says once you're doing 3 to 5 a month.
Oh God!
Right?
Then
you need to hire.
What would you do
no.
in your life?
That they're saying then that's when you hire.
Yeah. I disagree.
I disagree as well. You can do a lot more,
yes.
especially on the platform. Now you both weren't in the retail side.
Correct.
I started
Broke
at Wells
life.
Fargo, right?
Yeah.
Then a couple like mid-sized correspondent lenders, and now we're here, right?
Yep.
In
yeah.
the past year, we opened up our shop. It's different on that side. So you don't know that. That's where, like, it is 3 to 5 on that world.
Really?
In that world.
So my thing is,
depending on the company, but
I just think it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have someone
Correct.
That's just super, super,
okay.
super efficient and maybe isn't as detail-oriented, or maybe their clients don't crave that detail, you know, that level of detail, then maybe you can handle more. But I think you need a loan officer assistant as soon as your level of production starts affecting your customer service. Correct. Because that is 110% how we're going to continue to grow our businesses.
Customer service and your life. Let's throw mortgages aside. Again, we all have a bunch of kids. Correct.
And I still just even think, like, as the mortgage industry continues to develop and, like, all of these technologies are available, mm-hmm. like, this is when brokers truly, truly need to separate themselves from the quickie call reps and all these other things is, we're going to need more time to counsel. We're not doing that right now because we're so inundated with loans.
That's a great point. So how I see technology right now is not – a couple years ago, it was all about customer facing. Like, what's the best POS in this, right? That's all well and good, right? The technology needs to help the loan officer mm-hmm. free up time
correct.
So that it can trickle down to be able to educate the client, to have time to educate the client. Right?
Exactly. 100%.
Because that's where we need the help.
Because mm-hmm. I think that in the next 5 years, 10 years, technology is going to streamline things a lot.
Yeah.
However, I don't think it's ever going to replace the personal touch mm-mm. and need that is required to obtain a mortgage. I mean, we're in a unique market. We're in Maine where people want the personal touch. People want to talk to someone locally. Our biggest competition are local banks. Like, we don't compete with Quicken Loans. We don't compete with big banks very often.
Okay.
We don't.
Because we live in the Stone Age, I think.
Literally, if a listing agent gets a pre-qualification letter from a Quicken Loans, they literally look at it, hand it back, and say, sorry, I can't accept your offer until you call Skylar or Tori or whoever.
How cool is that?
And that depends on how skilled the realtor is, too. I mean, because as newer realtors come on the market, they don't know. They'll take a pre-qual from anyone. They just want to get the deal done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they don't realize that is truly going to affect whether or not you even get to the closing table.
But these real estate agents that, you know, that we work with want the buyers to have a good experience.
That's what we educate them on, too.
Exactly. But they want to be able to pick up the phone and get me on the phone at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
With a quick question, right?
Hey, I have this buyer. We just went to an open house. We need a pre-qualification letter. Can you work it up? They haven't been pre-qualified. Yeah, absolutely. You can't call a bank and get that done. You mm-hmm. can't call these other lenders and get this done. They also want to know, like, if something's going wrong with the file, they can get you on the phone and you can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that a really important thing for us is the communication. I mean, if there's a problem going on with the file, first thing that I do, call every single person in the transaction, tell them what is going on, and tell them three ways that I'm going to fix it. Here's our first option. Here's our second option. Here's our third option. This is how we're going to try it the first time. If this doesn't work, let's look at this option.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I need
can do that.
This is how I need all of your help to do that. I can't tell you how many clients have come to me that have been turned down by so many other people because no one took the time to look at their full profile.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look at their credit report and say,
pay off that $1,000 debt.
The reason your DTI is at 75% is because you have a $1,000 debt that has a $600 a month payment.
Yeah.
Pay that off and now you qualify.
Yeah, done.
Or
you've got 40 points of score improvement on your credit report and now all of a sudden you just got demoted to FHA. Like, pay off these two things, rescore you, and you're back in conventional.
Exactly. Like, just taking the time to put them in that position or taking the time to say, okay, things don't look perfect right now. Yeah, your credit score doesn't qualify yet. But if you do this, this, and this, call me in 6 months and I guarantee I'm going to get you into a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're now invaluable to that person. You're now invaluable to that real estate agent. You now have changed this person's life because you have taken them from not being able to purchase a home, not being able to provide a home for their family,
mm-hmm.
to putting them in a better financial situation and getting them into the house. Now they want to tell everyone in their life about that.
How cool is
everyone.
That, though?
Everyone. You know, and I mean, I think this year I closed, you know, 60-something loans from past clients. Those are just past client referrals. You know, when you think about that, you're like, look at how many people that could be untapped or think about how many loans you're not closing if you're not taking advantage of
it. It also lets you
clients.
Breathe a second if you can't be marketing or getting out there and 100%. Saying, this is what you guys have built over the past 4 or 5 years.
Relationship.
You could sit back and not do a single piece of marketing all year long, and people are still just going to come back to you.
Absolutely.
Well, because that's what you built. It took time.
I mean, we don't do much marketing,
right?
To be honest.
I mean, I don't either. I mean,
we don't pay for any marketing.
No.
We don't pay for any co-branding. We don't pay for any co-marketing. We don't run any ads.
No mailers, no lead generation.
No, it's long term. You hit the ground. It's organic. And
yeah. All we do is build relationships.
Again, simple.
And that's kind of like what, like when I started in the business, is like, it didn't take me long to realize like this was 100% a relationship based business. And if you really wanted to be successful, you got to bump elbows with the right people. Mm-hmm. What I did when I first started, I just cast this ridiculously wide net. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bust my ass for the next full year. Every networking event, every real estate office that I can possibly get myself in front of, go make a presentation about why brokers are better and what the difference is, truly the difference is between me and a retail bank and a local bank and what we can offer and the services that we can provide outside of just a pre-qual letter on the nights or on the weekends. There's more than that. So I feel like for us, that was literally like doing that and creating those relationships from the beginning. It just compounded over time. You do a good job for that realtor tells their coworker, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And same thing with a past client. Like, that's where it goes. But once you set up that foundation, bust your ass for that year and literally make that your 110% priority is to go out and make relationships this year, you're going to have more business. You're going to succeed. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yes, you have to be a likable enough person to like get people to want to come
not,
to lunch.
Well,
you
can't be a dick.
And not be salesy.
Yeah.
Not try to sell something. I had
stalk their Facebook. Find out what they like. Yeah. Find out what they're good at.
I actually had someone reach out to me through seeing me through the broker, Ars mm-hmm. Better or whatever, and just saying like, I'm having trouble getting people to, you know, I call them and they tell me they're already working with someone. Well, the problem is the first thing you're saying is I'm trying to get business from you. That's the problem. Don't go in expecting something. Go in bringing value. How can I help your business? I sit down with someone, I'm like, what are your pain points? How can I help you? What are things that you're struggling with? Okay, this is a great idea. Why don't we get together, reach out to local businesses who have young, successful professions and say, we'd love to become a resource for you. We're going to offer you a free employee enrichment. We're going to come in every quarter and provide a lunch and learn to your clients, because what that's going to do for your business is now that's going to have you
provide
a service. Someone that buys a home in the area is more likely to stay at their job. That gives them a reason to stay at their job, also gives them a location to stay at their job. And now they're being educated on the fact that they can buy, because rent is so high and people don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you're providing that service, so now not only are you picking up a whole client base because you're now into this company and this business, you're also providing all of these clients for these real estate agents, which now instead of having them constantly be fishing, you're just bringing the fish to them.
Right. Yeah.
Stop going into meetings with your hand out. Like, no one's looking to just fill your pocket.
But
like,
I would also bet that, throw mortgages to the side for a second, you're a resource for other things, right? So we're starting like a vendor list of our group of clients. We call them Hussey's Homeowners. It's a private group on Facebook. It's a community.
Cool.
And I want to forget I do mortgages.
Yeah.
If you need anything, you
contractor.
Come to me. So that happens a lot.
Exactly.
So passively, they know they're going to you for but for anything.
Yeah, I was saying
that's how you build.
People call me and they're like, "Hey, can you give me some life insurance?"
Yeah, sure.
I can. And then you become a referral. Then you give a referral, and then those life insurance person's like, "Wow, she's having a lot
of business."
Yeah, but the bottom line with relationships, 110% when you're meeting with a realtor, like if they don't even know you, first they need to get to know you, then they need to get to like you. And then they need to get to trust you, and then they might send you
like
a client.
Going back
come on.
You know, when I start dating my wife, or you're dating your husband, like, you're not rolling in like, yo,
let's go, baby,
you want to
get married?
Like, now?
Yeah,
you just met.
Married?
No, you're like, hey, and then, you know, it's a second date.
Exactly.
It's a third.
That's what we talk about.
That's
nurturing.
How you look at
nurturing,
yes.
nurturing. And, you know, sometimes new loan officers be like, you know, I went and I really hit off with this real estate agent, and they didn't even send me a single thing. Okay, well, have you emailed them since? Have you contacted them since? Have you stopped by since? Well, no, but it went really well. Consistency.
And
that
a lot of these realtors don't even do as much business as you would think that they would. So they might be doing 12 to 15 deals a year. Well, certainly if you just had lunch with them on a Tuesday, it doesn't guarantee that they have a buyer looking for a prequal the next day. Like, you got to be
help
more realistic.
Help them get more.
Exactly.
Don't just ask for leads. Like, help them to generate
stay
leads.
In front
How
of them.
Can you generate? How can you help them constantly be staying in front of clients? And I think that's part of the marketing too, in the brand 360, all these things where you can put both the buyer I mean, the real estate agent and us on there. So now you're adding value to the real estate agent saying, hey, I'm going to stay in front of all those pre-quals you sent me. And not only am I going to have my information on that, I'm going to have your information on that. So now they're like, wow, I don't even have to now stay in front of them. You're going to do that for me? That's amazing. Now you're adding value to them.
Now you're freeing up their time so they can go have better conversations.
Exactly. Add value to your relationships so that you're invaluable, so that you're not pounding the pavement.
Selling on rate all the time. Yeah. Like
it's, we never sell on rate. Like ever. Never sell on
Doesn't
rate.
Matter.
Like we always say, like rate is so like all about the buyer's perspective on everything.
Is
like
the payment
same,
okay? Is the payment
you.
Good? Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, have a good day.
Yes, talk about what's a comfortable monthly payment. Stop saying 3.4 or 3.5. Like they don't even, no one's going to remember that down the road. They're not, it's all about the perspective of it.
We're up 8 bips, by the way. I just got that text.
Oh, bomb.
Literally just said. So, all right, we have 10 minutes. Not to cut you off. Yeah. Do you want to say something?
No, good.
All right, we have 10 minutes. So I want one or two things from you guys. What could we hit that on? It could just be general of someone brand new coming into the business, let's say. Or you could talk about one or two things for someone in your position, both of you running hard with a family. Like, what's some advice to someone with the work-life balance, let's say?
So for the first part, what I think is anyone coming into the business, which is how I was with Tori, with anyone, literally the first thing I say to them is that this is a relationship business. Don't look at this as a sales position. Don't look at these people as one-offs. Look at this client as a client for life. I am very, very adamant that I'm going to help you buy your first house. I'm going to help make that process so amazing that you're going to call me when you have a baby and tell me you have a baby. And then you're going to call me and say, oh, we're having another baby and we don't fit in our house anymore. And I'm going to help you buy a second house. Then I'm going to help you buy your camp because now you're doing well in your life. And then you're like, wow, rental's good. Let me buy an investment property. Then I'm going to help you with that. And then your mom's going to want to downsize and your coworker's looking for a house. I'm going to help every single person in your network because I've helped every single thing. And I'm going to do that for every client that I've ever closed. And now in 5-10 years, I don't have to pound the pavement because I've now built a network of relationships for all this time that I'm going to now have for the rest of my career.
And God forbid mortgages go away. Let's say no more mortgages. You have all these relationships. You're going to figure something else out to survive and take care of your family. So it comes down to not even mortgages. It's relationships.
It's all about relationships and how you treat people.
And quality relationships.
Exactly. Yeah. And give someone a great experience. Stay level-headed. Like if everything's hitting the fan, everything is going bad, the last thing you need to do is freak out and get angry. Stay level-headed and just say, okay, what are we all going to do to come up with a solution? And that's where if you freak out and someone's angry at you and they're yelling at you, don't yell back. Don't freak out. Calm them down.
They're only reacting like that because they're afraid. Like
exactly.
They're emotional.
You have to be the calm one. You have to be. So I think the most important thing is building these relationships and taking care of these relationships, because even if rates go up, I don't worry about when rates go up. I know people are still going to be buying houses. I get excited when rates go up because I look at that as, okay,
refi's
good. Rates are 5.5%. I'm going to refi every single one of you in the next 6 months. And I'm like, this is just going to double my business. I refied every single person that I closed last December,
yeah.
You know, every single person in 6 months ago, you know. And I say to them, because they're worried, like, oh, my God, rates are high. Okay.
Yeah.
You need to get into this house, right? Let's get you into the house, and I promise you that as soon as rates take a drop, you're going to be the first person I call. I'm going to contact you, and I'm going to let you know, and then I'm going to make the process super easy to get you into the lower rate. So just think of this as a short-term thing.
Band-aid.
Like, okay. You know, and that is reassuring to them, but then that also tells them that you've already made that proposition that you're going to help them in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years, whenever they have more equity, whatever it may be, you've already set that expectation that you're going to be there to help them with that. So I think that that's important, you know, and
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's a financial thing as well. Like I tell a lot of people, all right, we're going in. How many people go, I want a 15-year mortgage when they're buying a house. They have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
So you educate them like, dude, 30-year.
Exactly.
All right.
Pay as much as you want.
Yeah. The sexy ones is a 15-year. We'll look at that in 4 years once you're on your feet and it makes sense. And that's where I've started hitting.
Stretch
I'm putting a lot of people in no escrow, 15 years. Save your money on tax. Like there's all, we could talk.
There's so much.
We could talk that all day long.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It's a relationship down the road of, I'm going to put you in a better spot. That's how,
like literally the,
but for now, yeah.
Yeah, be the financial advisor of their life.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The
industry is changing. You have to change the way that you do your business. It can't just be a transaction. Yep. And I think like how we run our business is like literally people will forget what you say. They'll forget what you do, but they'll never forget the way you make them feel. And that's 100% how we run our business. It's literally a Maya Angelou quote that a friend told me and I've never forgotten. It's literally how I run my business.
Can you say it one more time? Slowly.
People will forget what you say. They will forget what you do, but they will never forget the way you make them feel.
Did you get that, Ricky?
Got it.
All right. Thank you.
So literally, it's how we run our business, and we don't sell on rate because rates are not important. If the person is comfortable with the monthly payment, that is what we focus on. That is what we have the discussion about because that opens up the broader conversation. It makes them talk about their life. It makes them talk about something other than just the mortgage in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about rates being so perspective. It's literally the same person that's bitching about the 4% interest rate will be the same exact person being so excited that rates are dropping back down to 4% when the rates are at 5. It's literally, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's crazy. Exactly. So I feel like for me, like words of advice, obviously relationships are key, but also like you have to start differentiating yourself because the industry is going to change and, you know, the quickies are going to be coming out and, you know, calling everybody and the phones are blowing up every time your credit's pulled and you're getting all these mailers. Call your mortgage broker. Like, yeah, they will advise you on the best solution.
My rule on marketing, or I stop calling it marketing, I'm calling it messaging.
Yeah.
Cool as that, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Is watch what everyone else is doing and do the complete opposite.
Definitely.
That's my rule over messaging.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are the best. I could talk to you all day long, but we got to cut it.
Thanks for having us.
Because people have ADHD and they won't listen the whole thing.
Yeah.
So thank you both.
Thank you so
and
much.
And let's talk more after this.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.